It's Couch Potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies. And this week is our huge, epic, big, heavy, dare I say chubby, Watchmen show. And we've got in the...
It's our night owl, show, because he's chubby.
Well, I mean, yeah, he's just chubby later in life, I guess. But we have a special guest in the magical virtual studio in the sky. We have Mr. Cole Abias.
Good to be here.
Cole Abias.
From FilmSchoolRejects.com. He's our resident Watchmen aficionado.
I thought he was our resident Twilight aficionado.
He was.
I wear many hats.
So you went after the fangirls, now you're going after the fanboys.
You know, going after the fangirls did not turn out exactly how I thought it was going to turn out.
You got attacked and, like, molested by the Twi moms, didn't you?
That's my story. Yes. That is what is in the sworn statement I had to give. Yes.
There's litigation is pending, so we can't talk about it too much.
Right. I'm glad you understand. Thank you.
Someone understands.
Okay. What makes you our resident Watchmen expert, by the way?
I'm not sure.
Let us know.
I don't know how that came about. I get called out on the site all the time. I'm excited about it. I read the thing like a decade ago and read it every year. I read it once a year at least.
Really?
Every year.
Read it once a year or you just BS?
I really do. I really honestly read Watchmen at least one time a year every year.
Okay. No, that's cool.
I mean, it's not like the hardest thing on the planet to read.
No, it's not. But I mean, I can read, Kevin. I understand that. No, I'm just one of those people. I usually don't reread a whole lot of stuff. Once I read something, I won't read it again. Except to Watchmen. I read Watchmen last week, and I'd read it like back in '88. So, I mean, I read it like right after it came out.
He read it back in the day.
In the day when Terry Gilliam was attached to direct. But we'll talk a little bit about that in a bit.
Can we do the part where I talk about where you can get a hold of us first, and then we can talk about whatever you want?
Okay, good, because I got some diversions I'm going to launch into.
Excellent.
So go ahead.
Before we get to that, here's how you can get a hold of us. You can go over to fatguysthemovies.com. You can go to iTunes, just search Fat Guys the Movies, and our awesome logo pops up, and that will make you want to subscribe, listen, and, dare I say, review our show. You can email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. We haven't gotten any emails in a while, so... thinking that's probably just not working, right?
Oh, we will be getting emails after this episode, I'm sure.
Excellent. And if you'd like to give us a call, which people are doing, 614-388-8735. All the cool kids are doing it. You should, too. Yes. So,
okay,
that's my piece.
I want to talk about random things.
Yes.
Two real random things, real quick.
Okay.
First of all, I don't know whether you... Do you watch The Bachelor?
Obviously not.
Cole?
Cole, he is a bachelor.
Well, that's great.
Is that the same thing?
Just because he's a virgin doesn't mean that he doesn't fly Virgin Atlantic or something like that.
No, good
wow.
one.
Excellent.
Ooh, dig it, Neil.
Starting off strong. Let's try and finish the show strong.
Wait, I'm a virgin?
No, you're not. I'm just saying that. Cole. Really, it's Cole who is. But no, The Bachelor, it just ended. They just had the season finale or whatever.
Oh, yeah,
Do
that
you know
was
how
what,
many?
The other night?
Yeah, a couple nights ago.
Wasn't it last night?
Well, a couple nights ago.
Okay,
I don't know.
Fair enough. Anyways.
You know, because this is an amorphous date that we actually are, you know.
Whatever.
Anyway,
did you prop up on the couch with some fried pickles and Neapolitan ice cream and watch it?
Oh, my God. What, are you pregnant?
That's what I'm asking you. You're pregnant.
Neapolitan ice cream? No, I didn't watch it. I watched one episode. Like, my wife watched one season, like, back in season
Wait
one or two.
Okay, so hold the phone. You're bringing this up. Hey, do you guys watch The Bachelor? Because I've never seen an episode.
Apropos of nothing,
Kevin Carr.
I'm pointing out what a failure the show is. Do you know how many episodes, how many seasons there are of The Bachelor and The Bachelorette combined?
There's a lot, isn't
there?
It's
15.
It's been on for, like, 10 years.
17 combined. Four seasons of The Bachelor. 13 seasons of The Bachelor, 4 seasons of The Bachelorette. How many couples are still together?
None.
One. The first Bachelorette. She got married, but she was like destined to get married. She was like, you know, had her sights zeroed in. But the other 16, you have a better chance of getting cancer than you do of staying together after being on The Bachelor or The Bachelorette.
I thought marriage was a form of cancer.
Well, you can put it that way. But
just like children are a sexually transmitted disease.
Sure. And how many diseases do you have running around that you know of?
That I know of?
18 in Brazil alone.
No, hey, Brazil was a good trip, okay?
All right. Here's another thing I want to talk about.
Speaking of Terry Gilliam.
Another question I have of what you guys watch. Did you guys watch 24?
No, I don't watch 24.
You don't watch 24?
No.
Cold, you? No.
No.
Oh, well, I'm just pointing out.
Wow, knocking them out of the park today on topics.
Well, I have to say, as cool as, President, the guy from the first couple seasons, Dennis Haysbert, I forget what his
name. The guy from President the Allstate commercials?
Yeah, him. He was very presidential, and he was a really cool president you could get behind. The woman who's the president in this one, she is the lousiest president ever.
Are you saying she that because she's a woman, decision. Kevin?
No, because she's just stupid.
Would you care it's to hysterical. Qualify?
Although,
are you saying that she's stupid because of her tiny little woman brain?
Well, what's funny is my wife and I were watching the episode this week, and my wife goes, "That's why you shouldn't vote for a woman for president." I didn't say that. My wife did, which I thought was really funny.
And you stood up off the couch and said, "You said it."
I said, "Let me get that in writing." No.
So, anyways, you should always get it in writing, Kevin.
That's right. Anyways, let's talk a little bit about Watchmen history.
Yeah, since those Cole, topics since failed.
Yes, thanks.
No problem.
This is my show. I can kick you off whenever.
Yeah, okay. You can tell how I shut up completely.
Anyway, so Watchmen history. The book was written in what year?
86.
Hold on, Wikipedia.
The first issue of the comic book came out in 86. It was first released as a limited series, a 12
issue. Yeah, it was 12 issues, so spanned 86, 87.
Yes, and then also in 87, they actually released it in graphic novel form as well, mm-hmm. because now, it was wildly popular.
Kevin, also, you have the series.
I have the original. I have the original prints. Yeah.
That's fantastic.
So. Yeah, which is kind of cool, because I had them, I read them back in the 80s, and then I'm like, I'm never going to read these again. Lo and behold, movie comes out. Yep. Unlike Cole, who reads it once a year.
I've read it a few times, but I've only owned it for less than a year. I bought it at Comic-Con 2 years ago, and I think I've read it like 4 or 5 times since then, because I have trouble with words.
Well, so. There's a lot of pictures.
And there's a lot of words
in this, too. There's a lot of words in the book. And that's what's interesting, is the book, there is... Alan Moore is somewhat verbose with his writing.
Sure.
Anyways. Somewhat.
Somewhat. And the thing is, there's all the ancillary stuff that comes at the end of each issue that people either read or don't read. My own opinion is I think that there's a lot of people that are buying it, and I'll bet you that not even half of the people that buy it even finish it. And some may not start it, but some may only read 2 or 3 issues and then not finish it. Because, it's not that it's hard to read, but, it is a bit of a commitment.
It's
heavy.
It's
12 issues.
Is what you're saying.
And
it's very heavy.
It's thick to get through.
It's also different than most other comic books. It's kind of like people buying War and Peace just to have on their bookshelf,
right?
Not like necessarily finishing it. Hey, Kevin, can I ask you a quick question? Since you did get to read it originally, which is really incredible to me, and that you own the actual serial, when you reread it, like, do you get a really cool sense of nostalgia for the story in the Cold War era and a time that you had hair?
Well, no, I think it is interesting because it was contemporary back then, and now it's sort of retro. So it does have a different feel. Although we have to go to a break because we're running up against the clock here. When we come back, we'll talk more about The Watchmen, including some reviews.
And we're back on Fat Guys the Movies, and in case you haven't noticed, there's nothing else coming out this week.
Yeah, there's not even counter-programming.
No counter-programming to the movie we are about to talk about at great length.
Madea's Family Reunion 3.
Also known as Watchmen. Zack Snyder's big screen adaptation of the celebrated graphic novel about real-life superheroes in an alternate 1985.
Maybe someone's picking off costumed heroes.
John thinks that there's going to be a nuclear war.
What if that's why someone wants us out of the way? So we can't do anything to stop it? And that attack on one is an attack on all of us.
Watchmen are over. What do you suggest we do about it?
Retribution.
Now, we're gonna go around the horn here. Instead of just Kevin and I talking over each other, which is the normal case, since we have three people, we're going to go one by one. And we'll start with me, since I'm awesome.
We're going to take a step into politeness at this point.
We are. And we'll start with my review of Watchmen, because I thought it was excellent. It was most excellently done.
Thanks, Ted Theodore Logan.
That was our example of Kevin not talking over Neil.
I could. How do you rate a movie? It was most excellently done. Awesome.
He also did a little air guitar riff. You missed it, though, because this is radio.
But here's a few kind of points. One, it's a big, heavy movie, which is, if you've ever read the novel, you know that that's, you know, inevitable, I guess. No. It's a big, heavy movie. It's very stylish. If you've seen 300, it's very Zack Snyder. And personally, I think no one films a hand-to-hand fight scene like Zack Snyder in slow motion. It's a beautifully decorated film. You know, I think the production design was incredibly spot on for the universe that they were trying to create. And I think there's a few performances that are good. Patrick Wilson's really good as Dan, or the Night Owl. And Jackie Earle Haley just blows everyone else away. His performance, to me, is akin to Heath Ledger's performance in The Dark Knight. So...
Did you hear Heath Ledger's?
So I think it was I really, really super enjoyed it, but it is very heavy, and I think it was kind of relegated to winks and nods to comic book fans instead of having to put in, you know, being able to put in the time, because unfortunately Zack Snyder couldn't make a 7-hour movie out of this. So there were a lot of little winks and nods to various things about the comic book that were cool, but there will be some things that people who are like diehard fans of the book will be like, wait, that wasn't in there. Yeah. Which, you know, but whatever. Who cares? Right?
Yeah.
Kevin?
Yeah. I, am I next?
Yeah, go ahead. You're up next.
What'd you think? You're going second because you're awesome.
I'm awesome. It was the most awesomest. No, I agree with you. And I think, but see, here's the thing with the winks and the nods. Like, for example, the kid reading the comic book at the newsstand, they have a shot of him, which is, he has an entire half of a chapter devoted to him in the book. But really, it's all extraneous anyways. I mean, it's extra stuff that enriches the story, that's valuable to the story, but you got to cut that stuff out for the big screen adaptation. Or what you would have had is you would have had these like half-hour diversions that would have just lost the audience. And I think that was important to do. And I thought the adaptation of it and how they brought all this big hodgepodge of extraneous and extra stuff that is cool together and gave little hints to it throughout the movie, but didn't make it completely boring or whatever.
After the movie, I felt like they did a good job of compressing it.
Yeah.
You know, like it felt well compressed.
Yeah. And it was, in that respect, it turned out to be pretty much what I expected. In that there were certain things I loved about it. And I have to say, as an adaptation, it's probably one of the best adaptations you'll see. I mean, there are screenshots that are literally almost line for line the same that you'd get right out of the graphic novel. There are words, there are phrases that are taken right out of the graphic novel. It's very, very true 95% of the time. And then, but what the only thing that bothered me about it was that 5% where it wasn't, where like there are certain key points that Snyder makes even more graphic. And it's not that the book didn't pull its punches. It's a gruesome book at times, but he made stuff even more graphic, or more violent. And I think he got his ego in the way. You mentioned the 300 fight scenes. It did at times suddenly turn into an homage to 300, especially a certain sex scene. Thank you for the nudity with Malin Ackerman, but it was like just almost a shot by shot replay of the sex scene from 300.
Wow, Kevin, that's like super good insight. Are you sure you're feeling okay?
Well, thank you. No, yeah, I am. I am a bit under weather. No, but I have to say, the guy who played, who's the guy who plays the comedian?
Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
He is phenomenal in this as well. And he's just, his scenes are all stolen by Rorschach. I mean, well, the movie's stolen by Rorschach. But he's great in it. The only one I really, really had a problem with, I mean, I thought Matthew Good was kind of like, you know, he was sort of phoned in his performance, but Malin Ackerman is a black hole of acting. She is, I mean, she's gorgeous, just the most wooden dialogue delivery I've ever heard in my life.
But she looks good when she takes off that leather.
Yeah, she looks great. I'm not denying that. Yeah.
When that Silk Spectre 2 suit comes off,
oh yeah,
Malin Ackerman fits perfectly into this movie.
Side note for fans that are listening, Kevin also has a Silk Spectre 2 costume that he is wearing
right now for the show.
Nice. So.
But yeah, I thought
and with your donations, he will keep it on. So keep them coming in.
All right. Well, I'm going to pass the torch here to Cole. I want to hear what Cole has to say about it.
Excellent. Me too. I am going to go third because I am awesome.
Awesome.
So I am really conflicted. That's my overall stance. I think the movie is fantastic. I think it's a great movie. But I'm not sure how to feel about it overall as a fan of the book.
Okay. What don't you like as a fan?
What I do not like, that's just a great way to frame all of this. I didn't like as a fan, and as some have, you know, claimed that I am a super fan maybe or more fanatical than I should be.
A super duper fan?
An awesome fan?
Let me talk about the things that I did like real fast as a fan. The attention to detail that you're talking about, like, I understand that he couldn't put everything into it, otherwise it would have been like an 8-9 hour movie.
Or more.
You know? Yeah. Or more, or longer. I mean, it's a gigantic book.
It could have been a miniseries on television, 12 episodes, easily.
You know, and that's what Terry Gilliam thinks. Mm-hmm. So, but then you have all these cool details, like the Hiroshima lovers, you know, in the background. Spray painted on the wall. You have Hollis Mason's garage sign. You have the Gunga Diner. Like, you have all these really cool elements from that version of New York that are in there and are given some decent screen time. Not just necessarily Easter eggs, but just a fairly, you know, slow wink and nod to people that are going to get those elements. Overall, I think it captured the story really well. It captured all of the main points of the story. It captured the spirit. I liked how it was done in a non-linear storytelling arc, which I've had debates over several colleagues with this, whether it was linear or not, but I think it wasn't. I think it was done more in the style of a 12-issue comic book.
I think it wasn't, but it also feels... It moves well.
It moves chronologically with some flashbacks, but ultimately, when you freeze frame things and you're going to start talking about the comedian's backstory, and then you're going to go on with what's happening in the present, and then you're going to stop everything and talk about, you know, how Dr. Manhattan came to be, you know, and talk about John Osterman's story. Oh. That, to me, is a very non-linear device, and I thought they handled that all well.
I'm going to interrupt you here. I think that was also very relevant, because when they did that, it was usually centering on Dr. Manhattan. Even when it was giving comedian backstory, it was kind of from Dr. Manhattan's point of view, and he as himself is a non-linear character.
Oh, that's a good point, actually. He really is. I mean, he's kind of interjects himself. Yeah, you're doing
obviously something wrong with this.
This is really anomalistic.
I stunned Cole. He's like, "Wow, he's like insightful. What's going on?"
I know. Can you please make a poop joke later?
We were talking about Malin Ackerman naked earlier, so just rewind to that if you want.
Close enough.
Fair enough. So, as far as stuff that I didn't necessarily like, I figured it out after a couple of hours of really trying to digest it afterward. And the thing that changed the most drastically from the book to the film for me was the book's ability to create constantly this Cold War hysteria. Okay. While you're reading that book, you have these scenes at the comic book or the newsstand. You have these scenes of talking about how the city is going to trash. It's almost like the newsstand character is an echo of Rorschach's character about how things really are getting bad. And the gang violence is really getting bad. And the city doesn't care. And the United States is in a like ethical, moral sinkhole right now. And that's not the place they need to be, you know, ever, let alone when there are nuclear weapons aimed at their heads. Mm-hmm. And so for me, the movie didn't quite capture that urgency of why the United States and Russia were continually, like, anxiously, you know, headed toward this mutually assured destruction. And I think the book does that in spades, whereas the movie didn't quite capture that. And that's needed to create a sort of dramatic foothold for why all of these heroes are doing what they're doing. Yeah. So I think that's the biggest thing for me.
I'll give you that. We do have to go to a break. We're coming up to a break here. We'll talk about box office, how I think it is going to do, and we'll see if Cole has anything more to say.
miles of hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck. Oh yeah.
Fat guys! What's up? This is McKenna calling. Since I live in Austin, I managed to get into the screening of Watchmen that went down last night. I am a huge fan of the graphic novel. I've been waiting a long time for a movie. In truth, it wasn't all that, man. It was, I'm more curious to see what people are going to think who don't know anything about the story whatsoever. There are some scenes that I feel should have played out a little bit longer. They kind of rushed through them to get to the action, get to the whiz-bang. So overall, it was worth seeing. I did go with a friend who had never read the comic. He said he felt it was all right. He thought it would have been better served if they had somehow managed to make two movies out of it. Neil, maybe I'll catch you down in Austin during South by Southwest. Take care.
And we're back, and you just heard our reader review.
Listener review
from last week.
That's what you do when you run a website. You just constantly always say reader.
I think reader. Well, I hope Mikal reads Film School Rejects as well as Fat Guys the Movies and listens to the show. So there's that. Anyways, moving along, we also heard what Cole thought going into the break of Watchmen. And now I have an interesting question for the panel here, which is all of these people who kind of went through the last segment saying, what the heck are they talking about? Who's Rorschach?
Yeah.
All the people who have not read the book. How are they going to react to this movie? Or what should they expect from this movie? So, I don't know. Kevin, what do you think?
Well, you know what? I think that Zack Snyder made this movie as accessible as it could be to the mainstream without completely alienating his fans. I mean, they could have made a PG-13. They could have dumbed it down. They could have made them more traditional superheroes, but that would have ruined it. And I think that would have just had a backlash from the fanboys. How accessible? But that's only, you can only go so far in being accessible to the mainstream, because the book even was written for fans of the genre. It was totally made before people really took comic books seriously. You know, this is back in the mid-80s, so they hadn't even done the first Batman movie, Tim Burton's Batman. It really hadn't raised to the mainstream level yet. So I think it's going to have trouble finding a really solid mainstream audience. They can get it. They'll watch it and they'll get it, but a lot of the sort of the genre nuances, I think, are going to be lost.
I think there's, I kind of agree with you. I think there's going to be a solid swath of people that are maybe the males, you know, from 18 to 25, that even if they haven't read the book, there's going to be a lot of in it that they will get or recognize. I think as far as resonating with a sort of a mass audience, it's going to be tough, because there are definitely some groan-worthy moments. You know, I'm not sure how that's going to play. There's a few moments that remind you that you're definitely watching a comic book movie.
Yeah, there, it there's goes a couple out of that, flashback
It goes out of
scenes.
That depth.
Yeah,
it goes out of that depth of, you know, literary work for a second. And you'll notice, like, some dialogue pieces are going to be, you know, you'll roll your eyes at, maybe.
I was just going to say, there's one particular flashback to the original Silk Spectre that I, even myself, I did have to groan at the hallway fight scene, the argument.
Yeah, a little bit. And, you know, it's I can't say that I was super happy with the female performances in this movie at all. You mentioned Malin Ackerman, but yeah. Carla Gugino, as much as I love her as an actress, it felt really, really like stiff and cardboard. You know, she sort of was playing this bronze bomber 1940s stereotype.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know, a lot of that felt, a lot of those heavy scenes that she had to carry a lot of weight, you know, some really traumatic stuff happening in her life, her character's life, you know, wasn't really carried that well. And you're right, that's where a lot of that groan-worthiness comes. But yeah, as far as like the overall feel of it for a mass audience, I think it's going to be incredibly split. There's going to be some people that are all about it, that watched 300 and thought it was fantastic and bloody and violent and great. And when someone's bone pops out of their arm, they're going to cheer. Yeah. And then there's going to be another.
It does happen, by the way.
Then there's going to be like the radical pendulum swing to the other side, where people are just like, that is the dumbest thing I have ever seen.
Well, I have a interesting theory, since you mentioned 300, and this kind of ties into the box office as we kind of roll in slowly into our box office segment.
Great segue!
Is, you know, we were discussing this in the car on the way to the movie, was that 300 appealed to a female demographic in a way that a lot of comic book movies don't.
Because of Gerard Butler?
because of, you know,
and
you,
airbrushing
and airbrushed abs, and I don't mean to bring it down to that level, but let's face it, guys go to see movies where there are attractive women in it. Women do the same, you know. It's no secret.
Well, but see, it's
evolution.
300 also had Lena Headey's character was very, very strong.
She was
and
a strong woman,
she,
right?
Yeah, she had that. She had a very solid sub story that a woman could identify with more than just a bunch of sweaty guys.
Right, and I don't think Watchmen has that. Watchmen definitely doesn't have that. So I think what's going to happen is, even though we got a report from MovieTickets.com this week that said Watchmen is outpacing 300 4-1, which, you know,
with the caveat that 300's biggest days were right before its release.
Right. Well,
so
but
we got to see today and tomorrow to see whether or not Watchmen's actually really going to outpace it.
Yeah, we'll see what happens over the weekend, but it's like, I think it'll open big, but I don't think it'll, I think it'll lose steam very quickly because it doesn't appeal outside of its like target.
Well, let me say a couple things. First of all, about that MovieTickets.com report. Mm-hmm. First of all, I think Watchmen is in at least three times as many screens with midnight shows. It's A, the only thing opening this weekend, and B, when they released 300, it wasn't as anticipated, so they didn't clear the cinemas for those prints the way they did for Watchmen. So, I mean, I went online, and I mean, like, they got, like, the Movie Tavern in town is doing a midnight show for Watchmen, which I'm pretty certain they didn't do for 300.
Yeah.
And the second thing is, 300 was a very simple story. It was a very simple, relatable story. Good versus bad. Underdog fighting the big, you know, Persian monsters that pissed off Iran. You know, but it was a very relatable story. You say, what's 300 about? Oh, these 300 warriors kick back the whole Persian army. That's what it's about. Watchmen?
Yeah, do you have 2 hours for me to talk to you about it?
Yeah, what's it like about? Well, go read the book. You'll understand it. And that's the problem. That's what I think it's going to face. When I saw the screen, I don't know what it was like when you guys saw it down in Austin, but when I saw it in Columbus, I went into the screening, and it's just everybody's coming, and I'm like, this is, it's your comic shop audience. It's the people you wouldn't
who wouldn't
look out of place at a comic. Not to say just fat bearded guys, but I mean, there were girls
in
there,
there was
too.
No one had a date at the screening, is what you're saying.
Well, no, the people had, I mean, there was mixed gender, and they were all college students. Aries,
mixed
but it
gender
wasn't,
humans.
Well, yeah,
there were human beings with several genders to them.
There were transsexuals coming out. I don't know, but
see, that's fine. But when you go more than two genders on a human being,
that's crazy. That's
wild.
But I'm sitting there, I'm watching people come up the aisle because I was on an aisle seat, and then this, like, you know, this middle aged couple, you know, they're mid 40s. You know, kind of like the people you'd expect to go see something like...
Knights
and
Rodanthe?
Well, maybe not even that, but just something very main, like Iron Man. You saw a lot of just normal movie audience. These two people walk in and they go take a seat, and I'm just like, they stood out because they were the only ones of that demographic there, and I thought
freaks.
That was very telling.
They were also painted blue.
Did you get to gauge their reaction at all?
No.
Did they walk out on it?
No, they did not. But that's the other thing I think is going to run that it's going to run into problems with is it's 2 hours and 40 some minutes long.
But it doesn't feel that way at all.
Oh,
the pacing is so quick that
good.
It feels like a 2 hour movie.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be noticeable for fans and for any audience.
Yeah. I mean, that's not a criticism, but the problem is there are a lot of people, especially post Oscar season, who they look at the running time and they're like, I'm not going to go to the theater to see that.
People look at running times on Fandango or whatever?
I have heard that from so many people that they'll be like, oh, I don't want to see that. That's over 2.5 hours. I've heard people say that about like Australia, whether or not the movie was good. I mean, you can debate that. But there's a lot of people who said, I'm not even going to consider giving Australia a chance because it's 2 hours and 40 some minutes long. And that's the general consensus I've heard on long running movies. And you're talking post award season where people are kind of like, give me the 90-minute movie and let's get out of there.
That's a great segue into my opinion. I'm going to take the dark horse candidate here and say that Watchmen's coming out alone, but Madea Goes to Jail will take number one again.
It's going to have a sudden like 400% spike. It's going to make $80 million. Madea completely came out of nowhere.
And here's even more risky. I think Paul Blart Mall Cop is going to have another renaissance.
Wow. Just in time to completely bitch slap Observe and Report.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So, Anyways, Neil,
mark my words.
Since Cole has made his bold prediction of a dismal failure for Watchmen,
Watchmen will pull in maybe 5 million with Madea Goes to Jail pulling out the lion's share of the box office yet again. Maybe 80-90K. Maybe 80-90 million for Madea.
I'm thinking. Well, here's what I'm thinking for Watchmen. I'm thinking right around 70 million.
Okay.
Is a fair assumption. I think that's kind of a baseline based on 300. It's
because
a very
that's
safe.
What 300 opened with.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. What
science.
Do you think?
Here's my prediction: 50 to 60 million for the weekend, with almost half of that coming from Thursday night midnight shows through Friday. It's going to take a tank over the Saturday and Sunday turn because I think. It's very, very front loaded. I really think if you spend all your time on the internet, you see all this buzz, you see all this attention and all this excitement for it, but you talk to your average, you talk to somebody like my mom, who's your average moviegoer, and she or my wife, and she's kind of like, she knows about it because I talk about it. But other than that, my wife wouldn't care about Watchmen. So I think it's going to take a tumble on the weekend.
What about your kids? How do your kids feel about Watchmen?
They don't care.
I don't think we've talked about your kids yet. This
is Watchmen safe to bring a newborn to?
No, but I won't say what I said in the off the air earlier because I think it might offend people. And I last thing I want to do is offend
The last thing you want to do is offend people.
No, but
yeah, the thing is, the serious problem is, why would you be talking to people that don't care about Watchmen?
I know, shame on me.
Why have them in your life?
That's right. You should just murder them. No, but I.
That's right, Kevin Carr not offending people today.
I think more importantly, how much do you think it's going to make domestically? I don't think it's going to top over 150 million at all.
You're wrong.
I think it'll go over 150 million.
I think it'll clear 150 million domestic.
Based
I think
on
it'll,
lack
what,
of competition.
In its second weekend there, Cole?
Look,
after it makes
look,
5
the,
million its
in,
first weekend?
You're in the sweet spot, okay? This movie is coming out, you say, after award season and everything, and that's fine, but award season is also code for the dark dearth of moviedom in January and February. Mm-hmm. You're coming out of, like, Paul Blart Mall Cop, which is
audience
the deepest,
ate up,
is the
man.
Deepest film we've seen this year, okay? There's nothing else coming out this weekend. No movie has actually been released so far. It's been 2 months into the year. And people are hungry for films. They want to go see a cool movie.
I think people want to see Paul Blart versus Rorschach.
Done. I think it's happening. Unfortunately, Snyder has already ruled out a Watchmen sequel.
Although that's brilliant.
But I think if we pitch the Paul Blart v. Rorschach storyline,
it could
Snyder
be a prequel.
May change his mind.
It could be a prequel.
A prequel?
Yeah.
Ooh, wow. Whoa.
Like
Whoa.
Star Wars. Like Star Wars.
Wow, but not as bad as the Star Wars prequels.
Well, there you go. We got to go to a break.
We do have to go to a break, and when we come back, we're going to do, I don't know, we'll wrap you up and get you out of here.
And welcome back, Fat Guys at the Movies. I'm special guest Cole Abias, totally not fat, very much in shape. Bringing you back to the final segment of the show today. We've been talking about Watchmen.
Yeah, you claimed you can't touch your toes.
Yeah, earlier. No. I'm like the fattest skinny guy I know. I'm in incredible shape, but I can't touch my toes. Way to bring up personal issues on the air, jerk. Anyway, we've been talking about Watchmen the whole show because it's a fantastic movie. It's obviously a major cultural icon, and there's nothing else coming out this weekend.
I think that's actually the big point here, is there's nothing else coming out.
That's what's going to actually save the box. If it had a whole bunch of counter programming, it might have a little trouble. But I think it's going to be good.
Anyways, so let's talk about something that's not Watchmen, and move right into our DVD roundup.
Isn't that awesome special effects?
Those are our really expensive sound effects.
We have this massive soundboard, like what you see in a recording studio, with like 87,000 buttons on it. Just to do
we
that.
Do.
Yeah.
What, you don't have one of those
we're
over
not,
there on your end?
We're not lying. We just use it sparingly because we have tact.
Let's move into this because the clock is ticking.
Is it the doomsday clock is ticking?
Yes.
Down?
We're 5 minutes.
Oh, wow. Watchmen reference. Once again, I'll start because I only have one this week. Yes. And I'm going to go with Australia.
Australia.
Because I have a huge thing for Hugh Jackman.
Huge Jackman.
And I thought Australia was a really beautiful movie, so I'm going to recommend this to our Blu-ray owners out there. It's a very, very, very good Blu-ray transfer.
Did
it's
it have any decent stuff on it? Because it only has like two deleted scenes on the regular
DVD. I don't know. Fox was awesome and sent the copy to a former address of mine that I no longer collect mail at. I'm not really sure.
It is a regional prison in Ohio.
And they had to send it back. So I'm still waiting on my copy.
Well, I'll move on. I'm going to give you three. Very diverse. First of all, Wonder Woman, the Warner premiere animated film Wonder Woman. Warner is putting out a series of cartoons, animated films about classic heroes. And they did one with Superman Doomsday. They did Gotham Knight. They did Justice League, The New Frontier. Now they've got Wonder Woman. And it's actually really cool. I don't know why I didn't read this comic when I was a kid, because I mean, it's like got hot women. It's, you know what it's basically like? It's like really hot chicks who are like Klingons, because they're all about honor and just insult everybody they're with, but they're just ridiculously hot.
Excellent.
So that's my first one. Second one, I'm going to defend Beverly Hills Chihuahua, because I think it's a great family movie and it's a lot of fun. And most of the people I've heard who like slam on that movie haven't actually seen it. So to them.
Yeah, there you go.
That's my response to people. And then I also have to say...
That was one of our also another sound effect, yes, from the board.
From the 87,000 board. In the Electric Mist, starring Tommy Lee Jones, it's based on a book. It's about a guy. Tommy Lee Jones, yet again, plays a lawman from a small town.
And it's about a guy?
Well, no, but it's basically the same setup as of No Country for Old Men. He's based on a book. He plays a lawman in a small town, or he's in New Orleans, which is relative. It's not a huge, huge city, but
Well, it's not anymore.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And he's trying to solve a series of murders. It's a nice little. I was actually impressed because it got sent to me, and I'm like, oh, this is gonna suck. And then I watched it, and I'm like, well, this was actually pretty cool. So, worth seeing. Cole.
Nice. Well, I will be brief. I have two. My pick, the first is obvious. The Watchmen motion comic comes out on DVD.
Yeah.
And as far as a review, all I can say is if you are a fan of the book, you really, really enjoyed the book, then get this.
And you have 13 hours of your life to give away to this.
Yeah. I mean, it's a serious investment. And that's why if you haven't read the book, you don't care about it, or you've read it and you just kind of liked it and it was good, but you don't really care beyond that, don't buy it. Obviously.
What if you're like, what if you're just really lazy and don't want to read the book, but have it on yourself so you look like you've read it? You can then watch this, right?
Done.
Yeah, wow.
A third.
Look at that.
Kevin Carr bringing the third option. The second movie is I've Loved You So Long, by director Philippe Claudel, which the actual title is Il y a longtemps que je t'aime.
Oh.
That's right, I speak French. ladies, contact me. So it is a... it's starring Kristen Scott Thomas, who is fantastic in it.
Was she
absolutely
nominated
incredible.
For? Was she nominated for an Oscar for this one, or
no,
just
she wasn't?
Negative.
Golden
Globe.
She should have been.
Golden Globe. Okay.
But Kristen Scott Thomas, fantastic performance. She's in prison for 15 years, and essentially is a movie about when people who are good treat people who are bad with kindness.
Is
and,
this? Could you characterize this as a woman's prison movie?
You know what? Technically, you're correct. Okay. The best kind of correct. So, yeah, I don't think it's the same as the ones that you have on your shelf. So it belongs more in the squarely off of the porn rack. This, wow. Golden Globe nominated film, you've heard it here first, I've Loved You So Long is not a women's prison porn film. So that's okay. That's
speaking
all
of women's prison porn films, what's our stinker of the week?
What? I'm going to say this, and this is outside of the realm of politics, at least opinion wise, the inauguration of Barack Obama, simply because it's like the 30th Barack Obama documentary that has been released in the last like 2 months, and I'm like,
and
enough
Kevin
already.
Hates America.
Exactly.
Did you actually watch the inauguration when it happened, Kevin?
No, I haven't watched an inauguration ever.
Was there a hot dog eating contest that was took precedence over it?
No, there was.
Was there Woody Woodpecker reruns on?
I think
just
I
had
to
catch him.
No, I had to take a nap and go to the bathroom. But I haven't watched any inaugurations. It's boring politic crap. Anyways, let's move on. review.
No, that's good.
We got to get going here. We're almost done. Review, okay. Wrap up. I think we all say Watchmen rocks.
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 Rocks. Right. Excellent.
Next week we've got... Oh, go on, Neil. You take us out.
We've got Race to Witch Mountain, Miss March, and Last House on the Left. In between now and then, you can get us at fatguys@themovies.com.
What's up, bitches?
Zip, 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 zoo!